reading to you from the 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 9th verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Good evening, my dear-looking friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, then one you let a God come and preach. You say, why do you always do that? Well, because I want to identify with Jesus, and I want you to know I was called of God. Oh, yes, I was. Oh, my stars. Many of you out there tonight, God may be calling you, but you're just shutting your ears because you don't think that you can handle a job. Well, you don't have to handle it alone. God gives you the tools for the trade. He'll put words in your mouth if you're surrendered and ready to go. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I hope you'll just kick off your slipper, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea, lemonade, or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, I'm going to say something tonight that's going to make some of you pretty upset, and I'm sorry, but it's the way it is. My title tonight from a message is Giving Your Testimony. Now, if you have never given your testimony and you claim to be a born-again believer, I doubt whether you know the Jesus of Calvary. Now, that's going to make you mad. But I want you to know, friends, that's what we're here for, to testify, plant seed, and introduce souls to Christ. That's the only reason we're here on this earth. If you're here on this earth, you've never given your testimony, you've never tried to lead a soul to Christ, you've never witnessed, well, I'm afraid, beloved, you've been sold a bill of goods. Because when you're born again, you may know it. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you've been born again. Now, I've suggested this to many people, and a lot of people have done it, and they're very pleased with it. If you've got a little recorder machine there in your house, and you're born again, and you sit down and you give your testimony, it might be a one-minute testimony, it might be 5 minutes, it might be a half an hour. But whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you put that down on a tape, and then you sit down and you play it back. Not to memorize it word for word, no, 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 but to hear what you have to say. Now, if you go to court, sometimes you'll be called to give a testimony of something that you've seen or something. You're under oath. When you give a testimony that you've been born again, you're under oath from God. And he tells us here in Isaiah 62:1-6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. You know who I've kind of patterned my life after? I mean, not his life, because I wouldn't make a pimple on Apostle Paul's head. But nonetheless, the first thing that Apostle Paul did was he said, one day I was on that road to Damascus, and a great light appeared out of heaven, and he shared his testimony. Whether it was before kings, for it was men on the street or queens, it didn't make a difference. He shared his testimony. Otherwise, he wanted to identify himself with Christ. And that's what we're to do. And we're to do it all the time, day in and day out. I never get tired of sharing my testimony. No, I don't. Well, now you say, well, but Cecil, you know, you've got an unusual testimony. No, it isn't. It's a testimony of a sinner that was born again. He reached down in a gutter and snatched old Cecil Moe up, put his feet on a solid rock, and then called him to go out in the highways and the byways and to share what's happened. Now, I've told you many, many times, I've traveled halfway around the world giving my testimony. Excuse me, I've got to have a little lemonade, please. Friends, I hope you like lemonade. God sure knew what he's doing when he made lemons. But anyway, I don't run around the world telling people what I'm doing for Jesus. I want to tell the world what Jesus did for me. That's a testimony. Now, you don't have to be a converted drunk. You can be the sweetest person in the world and not even a really bad sinner. Of course, we've all sinned. But you tell them what Jesus did for you. Anything that aggravates me, to go to a church meeting and the pastor calls for testimony, and some little old lady will come and say, well, God's been with me all these years, and I thank him and sit down. That's not a testimony. Tell them how, when, and where you met Jesus. It's an experience. Yes, it is. Well, where else should you give your testimony? The Bible says in Mark 5:18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on it. What did the Lord do for him? He cast out the demons and saved that demoniac's soul. That's what he did. You're supposed to tell people about your experience. Now, not any of us, beloved, have the same experience. Oh, I've been to meetings with these far-out groups, and man, I mean, they go on and on and on. What do you need to hear? The lost need to hear. What happened to you? What turned you to the Lord? Now, I turned to the Lord because I was a no-good alcoholic. But maybe that's not your problem. You turned to the Lord because the Holy Spirit of God drew your heart, convicted you that you were a sinner, and then you cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So you need to witness unceasingly. You need to witness in the home. Well, why did he want that man to go back to his family? He said, go back and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Oh, my friends, Jesus is a compassionate Savior. Even tonight, he's standing with outstretched arms. As you're listening to this tape, he's saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden. Friends, if I told you life was easy, I'd be a big old bodacious liar. Life is not easy. Life is hard. You say, well, is a Christian life hard? You bet your life it's a hard life. However, it's much more better than living the lost life. Because, you see, we've got someone who goes with us through our problems. Tonight, you say, Cecil, you do not know what kind of a mess I'm in. No, I sure don't. But he does. And he says, you come to me, and I'll give you eternal life. Write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and when your life is over and I come to take you, I'll take you to heaven. What a promise. What a joy. Or you can go right on through life, living your life like you're living right now. But are you willing at the end of your eternity to be cast into a hell? I don't think so. Well, the Bible says that we are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Oh, friends, he's a friend. And he convicts, he draws hearts. Acts 8:1, 1:8, I should say, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What does the empowerment of the Holy Spirit mean? Well, it means it's like putting extra gas in your tank. Am I there witnessing to people? I'll tell you right now, I better not depend on me. I'd better depend on Him. Because He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that anoints us. Now, I was telling someone that I couldn't get a message together. I couldn't find nothing to preach on. There's a million things to preach on, but sometimes you get kind of dry. Preachers do too. And all of a sudden, God gave me this, said, tell them about your testimony. Tell them how they can be blessed by giving their testimony. Well, and He tells us that we're to give it in assembly of saints. I told you I was flying to Japan to preach for 2 weeks. And there was five different preachers and their wives on the plane with us. We stopped in Honolulu, Hawaii at 2 a.m. in the morning to gas up, but there was no place to have coffee or anything. So all of us preachers were sitting on this shelf, on this bench. All of a sudden, I stood up before all of them and I said, "Men, I want to tell you how I met Jesus." I shared my testimony, and through the sharing of the testimony, I had the privilege of speaking in three or four churches when we got back to America, because they like what they heard. I'll tell you something else that'll just absolutely thrill your heart. I went to a convention, our denominational convention, down in Texas. Boy, was it a good convention. I mean, I heard some of the greatest preachers I'll ever hear in this lifetime. But anyway, I was there 3 days and the meeting was over, so I went to my hotel, packed up my suitcase, got on this little bus taking us to the airport, and there was a gentleman sitting right across the aisle from me, him and his wife, well-dressed gentleman. And I just turned to him and I said, "Sir, can I tell you how I met Jesus?" And he said, "Well, you certainly can." When I got finished, he reached in his pocket, pulled out a business card, and it said, "Pastor so-and-so of this huge church in Kansas City." And he said, "Sir, would you come to my church and preach for a week, a revival?" And I said, "Oh my stars, would I? Now here's a guy, a doctor of divinity. I'm just a little old peon preacher." But something in what I said caused him to realize that this is important to tell people. And I'm not ashamed to tell people. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I just love to witness in, I don't know how many people I've had the privilege of introducing to Christ in the restaurant who are waiting upon me and my wife." Yes, I have. Oh, one time my wife and I went up here Fridays, that's what they call the restaurant. It's a pretty nice little place to eat. We were having a salad. And so this young lady, about 19, 20 years old, was waiting on us. And I said to her, "Young lady, has anyone ever told you how to get to heaven?" And she stopped like she was hit with a rock. She says, "Well, no." Well, I said, "I'm going to tell you." So I shared a very short testimony. And she thanked me, and she went back and forth waiting on us, and pretty soon she came back. And she stood there, and I said, "Young lady, would you like to put your trust in Jesus today?" And she said, "Yes." I took her by the hand. And I led her in a sinner's prayer. And I want you to know, friends, she come up and hugged my neck and said, "Oh, thank you for telling me about Jesus." What an opportunity. That's not happened once. That's happened several times. People really want to hear a success story. There's a little Korean girl that takes me out to the car when I take the scooter, their scooter. And I asked her one time if anyone ever told her about Jesus or how to get to heaven. She said no. So I shared with her a very short testimony. She thanked me so much for sharing with her. Now, every time she sees me when I come in that store, she comes up and speaks to me And she always goes out with me to the car to take, and I always try to share a little gospel with her. Well, in 2 Timothy 1:8 it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, without shame and without fear." Man, I'm not afraid to talk about Jesus, but I thank God, because I'll tell you what, one of my morning prayers is, "Lord, give me holy boldness. Fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Endue me with power from on high, and give me souls for my hire." I've been praying that for 54 years, and it does work. But here's the one I really, really like. 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." Always be ready, because you know not. You know, one time when I was the director of the rescue mission in North Dakota, I got a call from the mission, said, "Oh, Pop, he's laying over there behind the tavern, his head busted open. Someone robbed him. Ice and snow." And I jumped in my car and I ran as fast as I could over there. And there he was, laying in a pool of blood. And I put my arm under his head and I said, "Pop, what happened?" "Oh," he said, "you're here, preacher. I knew you would come." One time I was preaching in a rescue mission in Arlington, Washington. And after the service, of course, they always fed the men. After the service, we went out on the porch, and there a man was laying dead. He'd crawled for the last block, I guess, to come to the mission, but he didn't make it. And oftentimes I wonder, did we tell him enough? Did we love him enough that he gave his heart to Christ? He knew that he could hear the gospel. And friends, rescue missions, oh, don't get me started on that. I just love rescue missions. Well, now why do we give testimonies? Well, because it relates to an experience that you've had with God. And here's what it tells us in Psalm 66:16. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." Oh, my dear friends, it's just relating what happened to you. Again, you do not have to be an old drunk to have a testimony for Jesus. In fact, the matter is, I recall I was working with a bunch of youth up in Washington. And this little teenage girl said to me, "You know, preacher, I sure wish I had enough courage to give a testimony." Oh, I said, "Hon, look what you do. You pray and ask God for holy boldness." Now, during this revival, that little teenage girl with some other kids came to the revival. And I said, "You know, I've got a feeling there's somebody in this place that wants to tell what Jesus means to them." And that little teenage girl stood up and she said, "I love Jesus," and then sat down. That's all she said. I said, "Hon, that was a beautiful testimony. But did you know what? After that, she got bolder and bolder and bolder and began to share." Now, I know, friends, the hardest people to talk to is your own family. Why? Because they know you well. They've seen your life. And so now one of the things that we need to be careful with when you're working with your families is don't preach at them. Don't do that. Share what you have done, what God's done for you, but don't preach at them and point your finger at them. That'll turn them off quick. I made a mistake doing that with my older brother, but I had the privilege of introducing him to Christ years later. Now, why do we give testimony? Because it tells of God's blessings. In Isaiah 63:7, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Now, I share this testimony because it's tremendous. Years ago, I had been a Christian, but a very short time, and I was roofing. That was my trade. I had a little roofing business. Well, one day I got a call from a deacon who owned a big store, and he wanted me to come and give him an estimate on putting a roof on his building. Well, I went over there and looked it over, and he said, well, there's only one problem. You'll have to do it on Sunday because that's the only time I'm closed. I said, I'll have to call my pastor. To call my pastor, and I said, Brother Tom, should I go do that on Sunday? He said, absolutely not. You'll be in church. Oh, I went there with a heavy heart, but I went to church. Monday morning, I got a call from this deacon that owned this building. He said, Cecil, you know, my wife and I got to talking about this, and I guess I shouldn't have asked you to miss church. I tell you what, you can do the job on Monday, or on a Monday, and we want the more expensive roof. I made several hundred dollars more by standing up and not giving in to the devil. Well, listen, Jeremiah 29 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Friends, and here's something else we need to talk about. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Well, friends, you say, well, Cecil, that's all right. You can do it. You've got holy boldness. Well, you can have the same thing. God's not a respecter of persons. He loves you just as much as he loves me. And you say, well, Cecil, I don't know. I'm worried about something here. I don't even have a testimony. You've not been born again, right? Right. Listen, would you like to be born again tonight? You say, oh my, yes, I would. Well, do you feel a little tugging at your heart? Do you just feel that you just got to do something about your lost condition? If you feel that way, please bow your head to me right now and pray the most powerful prayer known unto man. And this is how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner, and Lord, I'm so sorry for my wayward life. But tonight, I want to let you know that I want to invite you in my heart personally to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want to talk to you. So you call me at 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. And if you haven't been testifying lately, ask the Lord for holy boldness. He'll give it to you. You don't have to be you don't have to be a converted drunk to be a testifier. Just anybody that knows Jesus. Well, I'm standing by my phone waiting right now. And if you can't afford this call, please call me, Collette, because I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Lisa Moe. I hope and pray that I said something that will encourage you. I don't want you to be mad at me because I want you to know that you're going to heaven. Not I hope, I'm planning on it. I want you to know it. And if you're a Christian and you're not testifying, you pray that God will give you the strength and the courage and the Holy Ghost. Would you do that? Well, continue to pray for my wife and I as we... I'm feeling a little better. Yes, I am, and I'm praising God for it. My wife feels a lot better. And I hope next week I can give you a tremendous report of the two services we're holding in the prison this today. So in this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.